We're going to turn our attention now to community-supported agriculture with a couple of people who have been intimately involved with community-supported agriculture for quite a long time. Actually, Aaron Schneider, one of our guests, is director of the Madison Area Community-Supported Agriculture Coalition. Kristen Cordett is she's with the Blue Mound Community Farm and is a board member of Madison Area Community Supported Agriculture Coalition, which we usually call MACSAC, is how we usually that's the easy way to say it. Certainly, you may have some questions about what's going on in the area of community supported agriculture, and I hope you'll join in with those questions. I know there's a great open house that's coming up on March 29th, you're going to want to know about if you're certainly in the Madison area. And we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about community-supported agriculture with them and answer your questions at 1-800-642-1234, or in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890. Aaron, welcome. Nice to have you with us.
Yep, thanks. It's great to be here.
And Kristen, nice to have you with us as well.
Thank you, Larry.
For those who aren't familiar, maybe, Aaron, you can start and talk with us about what is community-supported agriculture?
I'm actually going to turn that over to Kristen. She's our farmer, so I think she can speak to that, too. So we're in a tag team here.
All right. Let's go to Kristen, then.
Sure. Well, community-supported agriculture is a relatively new movement in the U.S. It's about 20 years old now. About that old in the Madison area in Wisconsin, we saw the first couple of farms starting to have members join up with their farms in community in the late 80s, and then in the early 90s is when MACSAC got started, and that was really the shove. That was really what brought Madison into the movement. It had started on the East Coast by a couple of farms. But Madison has grown by leaps and bounds, and really the movement itself has seen quite a bit of evolution in the last 20 years. It began as really a consumer movement of people who are looking for farmers to grow healthy, safe, non-industrial mm-hmm. produce for them, and we're seeking out farms on the urban fringe to grow food for them, and really what we're seeing now is farmers are initiating these CSA programs and are recruiting members into their farm communities. So that's really the model that the farms in MACSAC follow, and it's been a wonderful way of bringing consumers and farmers together to sort of shoulder the risk of the farming season. Because what mm-hmm. happens is someone who wants to join a farm, they go to the MACSAC website. Mm-hmm. And they find a farm that's either in their area or has a pickup site in their area, and they join up with a farm for the season, and they pay for their produce ahead of time. They pay a set fee at the beginning of the season, and every week throughout the growing season, which can be anywhere from 18 weeks to 30 weeks, depending on the farm that you're joining here in Wisconsin, you'll get a share of that farm's harvest. Mm-hmm. And in that way, you sort of see the ebb and flow of the seasons. Your weekly share will reflect what's in season and also the growing conditions that the farmer's meeting up with from week to week.
And how many people are involved in that now?
Well, when we're at MACSAC, we're all about building community and community-supported agriculture. So we started in 93 with 6 farms, and we've grown that community to 34 this year. And while they're physically located throughout southern Wisconsin, they have members that serve, in the Minneapolis area, Milwaukee, down into Chicago, Dubuque, of course, Madison, and sort of everywhere in between.
So it's not only limited, I should say, to the Madison area, and obviously you said you work in Minnesota and are selling Minnesota and things like that too, but Milwaukee and other places around the state have similar situations.
That's correct, yeah.
So there's a place for you, whether you're interested. I'm going to say, well, I don't live close enough to Madison, but if you live near Milwaukee, or where are some other places?
Well, Blanchardville, mm-hmm. over by Viroqua area, and really a lot of, again, on our, we have, what MACSAC does is try to help make CSA accessible and connect people to the farm, and so we have different resources for that, and you can, one of them is a detailed drop site listing and finding out where the farm is and how do you connect to that farm, and mm-hmm. and the location is definitely a big factor. So.
Oh, yeah. Location would be a big factor. Yeah. Give us a call with your questions or comments. Maybe you're involved in one. I'd like to know. I'd like to hear from some consumers and maybe some farmers, too, who are involved in community-supported agriculture. Give us a ring at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. If you're in the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call or email us, too, at talk@wpr.org. Kristen Cordette is with the Blue Mound. Did I say Blue Moon?
Blue Moon, yeah, is the name of my farm, Blue Moon Community Farm, and we're a CSA farm.
So Blue Moon is the correct term?
Yep, that's the one.
Okay. Did I say Blue Mound when I started?
I think so.
I meant Blue Moon. All right. Well, I've got this. Well, tell us about your farm. What do you have to offer your clients over the course of a season?
Sure. Well, my farm began in 2004, and I'm just south of Madison in the town of Dunn. And we began a CSA program in 2004 with just 20 members, and which I consider a small number, but I would say there's quite a number of farms within the coalition that have that many or less mm-hmm. members. So one of the items of diversity really among our farms is the size. Anywhere from 5 to 1,000 members you mm-hmm. can find, and that might influence your choice on a farm. You might want to join a small farm or a large farm. But my farm has grown to 60 members, mm-hmm. and I have about 5 acres in vegetables. This season, however, we're going through a little transition. We're actually moving our farm across the township.
Oh, my goodness. You need more area?
We operated on rented land, which is a way that a lot of small farms get started, particularly mm-hmm. right on the edge of cities where land prices are high. And so the farm operated that way for 4 years. And then this past fall, we were able to secure a property in the township. And so we're taking the year to prepare that land for vegetable production. And so we're on CSA sabbatical.
Okay. Well, Bobby in Stevens Point has a question for you. So let's go to Bobby. Hi, Bobby.
Hi. Well, I don't have a question so much as I wanted to give the listeners a resource here in central Wisconsin. There's about 8 CSA farms going on now. We're just starting one up outside of Wisconsin Rapids, but I wanted to promote the Farm Shed group here that has a website that if people want to log on, there's both a Google group and a Wiki page.
Mm-hmm.
So can I give that to you?
Sure, go right ahead.
Okay, it's www.farmshed, like the word farm and the word shed.
Mm-hmm.
It means like a watershed only mm-hmm. for food, .org. So it's farmshed.org. And at the bottom of that first page, you'll see it says go on our Google group or go on our Wiki page. And that way people could find... without me being partial to any one CSA, there's about 8 of us, all the way from Wausau down to Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, all those areas.
Oh, I thank you very much. Farmshed.org is the site, and that's for this kind of the Stevens Point, Wisconsin Rapids area. Thanks.
Central. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Bobby. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Richard in Middleton, let's go to you. Richard, hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
I just wanted to throw something out that I think is kind of a misconception about CSAs. My wife and I are a member of Luna Farms, I believe it is,
mm-hmm.
and we're very, very happy with it. But one of the things that we thought going in is that we were going to pay a premium and that, you know, we would be doing something good, but at a cost. And what we found is that it compares very favorably to just going to the grocery store and buying vegetables, especially when you factor in something we discovered, which is that our insurance company would actually provide a couple of $100 a year if we would buy organic food from a CSA.
Very, very cool. And a comment from you, Aaron?
Well, yeah, I would say that cost is definitely a factor that's kind of, well, how do I make the shift to eating locally and seasonally? And I think a lot of our farms and what MaxSec does is we try to make it accessible. And Luna Circle is one of our farms. And the caller was just right on in saying that we've worked, like since we've been around, we have a couple of programs we do. One is Partner Shares Program, which is really an assistance program for low-income families. And MaxSec will pay the farm the whole cost of the CSA share, but the participant or the member pays only half the cost. So mm-hmm. we do that through fundraising events, for example, a raffle at the open house this Saturday. And then the other piece is, you know, working with some health insurance providers. Physicians Plus kind of paved the way in 06 in that part of their wellness program. They were offering their members who are also members of a CSA with the MaxSac farm rebates for eating through CSA. Mm-hmm. So you actually can get paid to eat rather than. But I would say, too, a lot of our farms have like installment payments where you can join on and send post-dated checks. There's worker share options where you can work for your food. One of our farms has like their worker owners, so we have a cooperative model. So it's really just, you know, call us, call MaxSec, we'll help you help that out, and also just call the farm directly and they'll make it work. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll have a chance to talk some more, and I definitely want to talk about this open house that's coming up this on Saturday, as a matter of fact. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll talk some more about community-supported agriculture and hopefully get some questions or comments from you if you're a farm yourself, or maybe you're interested in starting one, or maybe you are a member like Richard in Middleton here and want to make a comment that way, too. Give us a call at 800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking community-supported agriculture with you now with Aaron Schneider, director of the Madison Area Community-Supported Agriculture Coalition called MaxSac, and with Kristen Cordette, who is with the Blue Moon Community Farm and is a board member of MaxSac, too. So we're visiting with them about how you might get involved, or maybe you're already involved. We'd love to hear from you if you are. Maybe you're a farm. Maybe you have you're a community-supported of agriculture farm, or maybe you are someone who patronizes one of those. We'd love to hear from you about that, too. And join in at 1-800-642-1234, or if you're in the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and with your comments. We'd love to hear from you. Let's talk about what's the biggest issue for people actually getting involved in a farm like this? And I'm talking about from the consumer side of things now. What are the biggest concerns that people typically have? Kristen, we'll start with you.
Sure. I think one of the most difficult challenges with joining a CSA farm is sort of the pace of life. You know, what we're talking about here is receiving a nice sum of fresh produce every week, quite possibly more than people are eating or preparing in their lives right now. And it really does call for some concerted effort and maybe even changing the way that you cook a little bit. Cooking with fresh produce, going to your pickup site or going to your farm to pick up your share, it all requires just a little bit more time, a little bit more planning than might be in your life right now. But I think what people find, certainly what I hear from my farm members, is that well-grown food really doesn't need much preparation. You know, mm-hmm. when you start working with these vegetables and getting to know them, a lot of things you're getting are the staples. They're the carrots and potatoes and lettuce. But you're also going to see some things that might be brand new to your kitchen. And all of these things are grown with care. They're delivered to you fresh, possibly even picked that day. And the quality is just, it's just through the roof. And I think what people find is that you don't have to spend hours preparing this stuff. You can prepare it quite simply, and it's going to be just delicious. So that's certainly one of the challenges. Another, as we talked about before, is certainly financial. But as the caller earlier mentioned, I think most any CSA member when they're comparing costs of the produce they're receiving with, you know, possibly they've been shopping at Whole Foods or even mm-hmm. the Willie Street Co-op for their food, they're going to see a cost savings in terms of simply the produce they're receiving. And then you talk about the larger value of the CSA belonging to a community, having opportunities to engage your family with a local farm and learning about how that food is grown, the changing of the seasons, what's available on a seasonal basis in Wisconsin. It's a real education, and it's an exciting one for you or for your family if you're not familiar with how your food's being grown.
And one of the things you mentioned, vegetables that, for example, that we might normally not think about buying. I know that a lot of the farms actually help consumers out with recipes and ideas, don't they, Erin?
Yeah, they do. And I'm a recent turnip convert, being part of a farm this past season. And a lot of that, you know, Kristen alluded to this too, is that CSA is built on trust and relationship. And farms, we're here to help you, like, make the psychological shift as well to eating locally. And a lot of times you'll get, like, member newsletters, times as they go out to the farm. MaxSec also, like, again, kind of consumer and farmer and sort of community driven, we came up with a book, cookbook called Asparagus to Zucchini, a guide to cooking farm mm-hmm. fresh seasonal produce that you can get at a variety of locations and through us. And it's really a way to, how do I store this? How are some simple recipes? And what do I do with this kohlrabi kind of stuff? So,
all right. Well, Mike in Racine has a question for you. So let's go to Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Great. Thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
Just a real quick question. And basically it has to do with, like, dairy and meat products. Are mm-hmm. you, through the CSA, are you able to do this with meat products? And more interestingly, or what I'd really be interested to know is, can you do it with raw dairy products? And if not, is it a legal issue or just, like there's a law against it? Or
yeah.
Or what would be the issue?
Okay, thanks, Mike. Kristen, let's turn to you.
Sure. Well, I'll answer the easy part first, and that's the meat. And certainly we have some farms within MaxSac that offer meat shares in addition to their produce shares. Some offer beef. We have chicken producers. We also have egg and goat's milk cheese producers. You know, so there are other products besides produce that are being offered by our farms. The caller also mentioned dairy and in particular raw milk, which is illegal in the state. However, there are farms that do find alternate ways of establishing relationships with consumers that are very interested in getting those products. And you know, I know that it's happening. It's not happening within MaxSac. Mm-hmm. But there are raw milk CSAs in which the consumers actually purchase a share of a cow. You know, mm-hmm. they're actually in ownership of these cows and essentially hire the farmer to milk it for them. And that's how the rule is circumvented in some cases. And there's other ways to do it. Personally, I wish that there were better ways to have access to raw milk, which I think is a mm-hmm. is a valuable thing to have. So,
all right. Did we answer all the questions? We lost Mike there. So I think we answered his questions. What about, well, let's go to Ray here first in Wisconsin Rapids. Ray, hi.
Yeah, say, I got a question. I got about 20 acres of land that hasn't been farmed for, while I've owned it for 12 years. And what makes how do you get registered, or how do you go about organic farming? What's the definition of organic land
uh-huh.
for good, produce?
Good question. So, yeah.
Hang up and listen.
All right. Thanks, Ray. Okay, is there, Erin, you want to, we got a definition on?
Well, I would say, I'll answer the best I can, and I can't specifically speak to, like, organic certification, and MaxSec does have a grower criteria where if you want to be part of a CSA farm, you have to have certain, like, have to use CSA model for 1 year, and you have experience marketing your product, you have a way to get members, you kind of agree to sustainable practices, and some of our farms are certified organic, some of them aren't, and we're kind of really just reevaluating that as an organization, like, what are our production standards, and what do those words mean? In 2000, I think two or three, Kristen, maybe I can turn you over to certified organic.
Yeah, well, in 2002, organic certification sort of took a turn. That's when the national organic policy went into place. And up until that point, we had certification agencies that would certify a farm and its products as organic. That's since been taken over by the federal government, which has resulted in the USDA organic label. And it's actually against federal law to use the word organic in relation to your products without being USDA certified organic. And those standards can be found on the NOP web and the USDA website. They're fairly strict in terms of your growing practices. The caller has land that hasn't been in conventional farming, you know, hasn't been farmed at all in 12 years. And one of the criteria are that your land cannot see, it has a 3-year transition in which organic practices have to be followed before you can be certified. So his land would actually be certifiable this year were he to take on all of the other practices and record-keeping requirements of certification. But it is important to note that the word organic cannot be used. And that's why you won't see that word in relation to some of our farms who may be following sustainable practices. They may even be following organic practices, but they haven't gone through the certification and therefore simply can't use that word. So it makes it kind of an obstacle to describe what our farms are.
So sometimes you might see the term natural.
Precisely. Yeah. You'll see natural, you'll see sustainable, you'll see chemical free, pesticide free. And none of these words have agreed upon meanings. They have some meaning to the farmer that's using them. But what CSA does really promote is this relationship between you and your farmer to ask these questions about their practices, to find out what they're doing on their farms. And, you know, it is a close relationship in which you can get answers and find out what they're doing.
And I'd also just say to Ray, since you're in the Wisconsin Rapids area, that we had a caller earlier that talked about a community-supported agriculture, a group of farmers that range from Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point. And if you want to get involved possibly with that organization, their website was farmshed.org. So you could go there, farmshed.org. And they may have some more information on their website, too, relating to that. I certainly have some information for people who would be interested in starting up a CSA-type farm. Thanks, Ray. Appreciate it. Elizabeth in Fish Creek, your turn. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi there. I would just like to add a caveat to something that was just said, because in my universe, I think it's really important, and I think that there are a lot of confused consumers who need to know this, is that the regulation of the word organic only applies to foodstuffs, meaning that when you go to the store and you buy a shampoo or a lotion or any kind of body product, the use of the word organic isn't regulated there in the same way. And therefore, I had noticed years ago that the way that the regulations were put together, a shampoo, for example, that did not have one drop of organic ingredients, and it actually could, by calling itself, you know, something organics, imply that they were and not have a drop. And I actually just found that product the other day, much to my great frustration. So that's something that we're going to need to correct.
Somebody, a comment, Aaron?
I would just say that it's great to hear that people are it's on their radar, that they're asking these questions, that they're wanting and deserving really transparency. And what we're here again, like in the whole idea of CSA is to have that transparency with your food, and MaxSAC's around to help you educate about how to make that link and that leap. And so I thank you for bringing up these questions, and that we just need to be aware as consumers. So.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Elizabeth. Appreciate it. And Stephanie and Madison, your turn. Hi, Steph.
Larry, and hi to Kristen and to Aaron. I live about a block from Olbrich, so I am going to come over to the open house on Saturday. My husband and I are really interested in eating healthy, and I'm interested, actually, we kind of help, we have a daughter and two grandkids, and we help them out. We're real close, and I think they might be interested in something like this, too. Now, two things. Neither my husband nor I drive, so I don't know if there are places that will deliver or if you can work something like that out. Is there a guide that lists all the farms and then kind of compares with you know, maybe set up in a grid or somewhere where you can compare different features?
Sure.
You know, I'm wondering about that because I'm real interested, you know, especially also in making friends with vegetables. I like to cook.
Okay.
But if you could go into detail about that, I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Thanks for calling, Stephanie. Appreciate it. Aaron, do you want to go handle on that?
Sure. Well, I think one great way is just to walk across the road and check us out at the open house, and we'll have like the farm directory, which was printed in the March issue of the Sustainable Times, and it's available to download from our website. Lists all of MaxSAC's farms and kind of walks you through on what they offer, and we also have a detailed listing of all their drop sites and a spreadsheet that kind of also compares our farms by a type of shares and season and what the cost is. So those tools are available, and I would say that I am lucky too. And that I can walk to my drop site in town here with Primrose Community Farms.
And your website again is?
www.macsac.org, macsac.org.
macsac.org. Okay. So there is that guide. And let's talk, since we brought the open house up, let's talk a little bit more in detail about that open house. It's the 15th annual, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. 15 years.
What are we going to find? Now, it's at Olbrich Botanical Gardens. That's on Atwood Avenue in Madison. And I know it's from 1 to 4, so it's about 3 hours. And there's lots of activities. Tell us about them.
Correct. Well, we kind of see it as the one-stop shop for CSAs. Really, you'll walk in and it's sort of a CSA trade show. Every farm in MaxSAC who has shares available this year will have a table, mm-hmm. and information about their farms, their own farm brochures, as well as what Aaron mentioned. We have our full farm directory, which lists everybody, and people are just going to come in and walk around and meet the farmers and get to know what those individual farms offer. We're also going to have some events. We're going to have some cooking demonstrations, some CSA 101 workshops, a little bit about taking away the trepidation that some people might feel showing up at their farm or their drop site for the first time. What's it going to be like? And really what the callers have alluded to as well is you know, what should I consider when I'm trying to choose from among these 34 farms? And for the caller that just chimed in, well, location of the drop site or of the farm is going to be a critical factor for CSA to work for her lifestyle. And that's definitely something you want to consider as you're walking around. What size of a share do you want? Farms offer a standard share usually, which can serve any number of people. My standard share, you know, would feed a family of four, mm-hmm. on a weekly basis. Some farms have half shares, every other week shares, supersized shares, you know, every possible size. And so that's going to be something to consider when you're thinking about what farm to join. And just what sort of level of involvement you want to have in that farm. At my farm in particular, every customer, every community member comes to my farm to pick up their share. So they're coming to the farm, they're visiting the gardens. We have an area set aside where they'll pick herbs and flowers and cherry tomatoes and things like that. So there's a little bit more regular involvement, also a little bit more commitment on mm-hmm. the part of the consumer. They have to make their way out to the farm each week, and they're interested in spending that time. Others have a lifestyle where picking up a box from someone's front porch or from a church or from a community center might be the thing that works for them, and they receive that sort of connection with the farm through the newsletter or through the occasional farm events that happen throughout the season. Just about every farm in MACSAC has opportunities to visit the farm, whether or not you pick up your share there every week. So there's lots to consider when you're thinking about what farms, once you've made the leap to say, I want to join a CSA, then you've got some choices.
And so as I think about cost, because there's so many, everything from a half size every other week to a super size every week, the costs are going to vary quite a bit.
That's true. That's true. Although with one thing we do at MACSAC is sort of break down the shares to estimate what the cost per week for a family is going to be, because all of these farms also have a share, have a season that's a little bit different from one another. Some may start in May and end in December, and some might start at the end of June and end in September. And so when you're looking at a total share price, you really want to know how many weeks you're going to get that produce, because that's what's going to give you the true cost comparison if you're looking for that. But even then, farms vary a little bit from one to another as far as what's in their share. And so the cost comparison really, really doesn't give you the truest sense of what, if you're looking for the best value, strictly in that term, it's really not an easy thing to do. But half share could run you, what, $200 to $400. A supersized share might run you $600 or $700. And of course, this can be paid up front, or it can be paid in increments throughout the season, depending on what the individual farm has set up.
Here's a practical question for you. Let's say I'm going on vacation for 2 weeks, so I'm not going to be there. How do you handle something like that? Does that vary with the farm, Aaron?
I would say yes. It's a kind of your responsibility as a member to let your farm know. Yeah. Or else, like, you know, part of the great thing about, you have a whole network of people that you call your neighbor and just share it. Or I think the box itself is a celebration, and it would be a shame to have it go to waste for a week. And
sure.
So I think there's ways around that, too. So,
Chris in Madison is online next. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a way to help evaluate your CSA, and a way to lose a customer if you are a CSA. So please don't do this. My CSA last year would give us a big box of stuff, and in the box would be 3-4 heads of broccoli, and then a huge amount of celeriac and turnips, and just all the weird stuff that I didn't know how to cook and didn't really love. And so they seemed a bit parsimonious with the vegetables everybody loves. And then at the farmer's market, we'd see their stand, and they'd have a whole bunch of broccoli and a whole bunch of lettuce and a whole bunch of everything else, and not very many turnips, celeriac, all of the sort of stuff they can't really use.
Gotcha. All right. How do you comment on that?
Wow. Well, yeah, that's when you're investing with a farm for the season, you would hope that what you're going to receive is a nice diversity of vegetables every week, and certainly something that reflects what the average household is going to need. At the same time, challenging your community members to try new things. So that is the balance. And, you know, one way of maybe evaluating that as you're choosing your CSA farm is, a lot of farms have a product list. They have a list of what they are growing that year and when you might expect to see it in the box. This is what we do at my farm, and we plot that out for the season. And if someone looks at that list and sees, wow, celeriac in every box, that might steer you away. Or maybe it'll steer you toward, depending on your feelings towards celeriac. But that's one way. Not all farms do that, but you can certainly ask for a product list or ask for a produce list, and maybe just talk frankly with your farmer. That's an unfortunate. It's always sad to hear that someone had an experience that wasn't satisfactory with a CSA farm.
Because most of the time, I hear really good experiences. In fact, I haven't heard a bad experience. I was the first one, Chris. You're the lucky one here. The first one I've heard. I tell you what, you'll find out a lot more about CSAs if you can attend the open house. That's this Saturday, March 29th, from 1 to 4 p.m. on Saturday at Obrick Botanical Gardens. It's on Atwood Avenue in Madison. Farmers, slideshows, refreshments, there's some music, there's all workshops, cooking demonstrations, crafts, there's a raffle. And Aaron and Kristen, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and we look forward to seeing you Saturday.
Thanks, Larry.
Aaron Schneider is director of the Madison Area Community Supported Agriculture Coalition. And Kristen Cordette is with Blue Moon Community Farm, a board member of MACSEC. Thanks to them, and thanks to you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store.